Greet you in Jesus' name. We're thankful to be here at Cornerstone again. And as we had a beautiful morning of traveling, and as I looked over the lakes and farms on the other side of New York, it's a beautiful state. And I just had to think about that. We have a wonderful Creator, and He made the earth, and He created it. And I also have to think this morning of the Sunday school lesson and the fact that Jesus took upon Him the form of a servant. And not only that, but He humbled Himself. He became the lowest of the low in the fact that He took upon Him the sin of humanity and the curse that was on sin. So we're thankful for the reminders again this morning and the Sunday school lesson as it was taught, and we trust that God may have a few thoughts for us yet this morning. So I did think of announcements, and I could maybe give one. You're invited down to Wellsboro on the green on Friday evening, when we have some other churches invited, and we were going to try to host a hymn sing on the green there at Wellsboro. So anybody can is welcome to come down and join us in that. For a message, I was thinking of James 5. Really what we were thinking of is effectual prayer life. The fact that as Christians, we know that we have experience, that we can come to the Lord and make our petitions to Him. And we're thankful for that. We're thankful that He hears us. And that can be an experience, but we also find that sometimes the pressures of life can crowd out our time with the Lord and the time we should spend with Him. We may have a certain set apart time, which is a good thing, that we pray to the Lord and read His Word, and I think we need to do that. But it needn't be set in that time. We can have a time when we daily speak with Him, we walk with Him, and to know that He is with us. Sometimes maybe we talk about type of prayer where we just pray when we get in trouble. But the Lord really wants us to walk with Him and share with Him as we go through the experiences of life, asking for His guidance daily. But then also we want Him to fellowship with. We can talk with Him about things which trouble us. We can ask Him, Lord, it looks like something's coming up here. What am I to do about this? And rather than worry and fret, hopefully we can come to Him and just ahead of time be asking. And of course, there's some things that catch us unawares as well. But in James 5, in 13 to 20, there is an ordinance provided here. And what we're partly going to do is, as we think of effectual prayer life, is we want to end up picking some points in this scripture and for effectual prayer life, points that we can learn from here in this scripture. Now, it is this is given to us that to the church that that we can, in time of perplexity, in time of trouble, and especially mention sickness. When we're in sickness, we can come to Him And there's a process here in which we can, we call it an ordinance of the church, in which we can come to him and present ourselves before him. Recently, my brother was found. He had cancer on his voice. He was affecting his speech. And so he asked for an anointing when he heard about it, and then he said, and he's going to have another one yet. The brethren are we're going to pray together. And it does, the prognosis doesn't seem too bad now, but at any rate, that's in an early stage. But we have these things come in life. What am I going to do now? And our sickness, and the body doesn't respond. And what am I going to do? And as we think of this, we need to sense our dependence on need on him. And this ordinance is given for that reason, that we may turn to him and share with him and call for the elders of the church and enact this ordinance upon the individual that has faith to be healed and wants to be healed. And so we have an opportunity. You know, we realize at times we need to put things in his hands and allow him to work as he sees fit. And so as we think of these perplexities of life that we face, and we think of as the need to look to him, and as we think back to the fall of man and what that meant to humanity, to the fall of man and the fact that sin entered into the picture, and it also helped bring about diseases and so on. And so we need to look to him, and like we sing sometime, nothing between my soul and the Savior, and open ourselves up to him. And this is also in this experience we do that. And so we're looking at a part, the part we play in it, in which we which God has made a provision for us. And as we think of this, we need to realize, we may feel sometimes, that our prayer life isn't what it should be. And I would feel that way myself sometimes. And on the other hand, we are not to doubt when we present something to him and give it to him that we could have spent all night in prayer. Jesus did sometimes. I don't know if any of you ever did that. And it would be a good thing. And yet at the same time, prayer isn't the means. Jesus Christ saved our soul, not the perfect prayer life. And so we may be tempted sometimes to doubt. Satan is an accuser of the brethren. And he will always come back at you as, you know, you can't really expect the Lord to answer that prayer the amount of time you spend on it. And we may think that way, and yet if we know, we turned it to the Lord. We gave it to him, and we know it's in his hands. We shouldn't be doubting the work that he's doing. In other words, that we should have confidence and faith and trust that we placed it in his hands. Now we're going to see what God is going to do with it. And so don't let Satan take away your blessing with accusations, even though you could have spent more time in prayer, and maybe even should have, because our salvation, and it's not on the basis of the perfection of our prayers. Now the disciples did ask Jesus to teach them to pray. But the prayer that he presented is a prayer of dependence and yieldedness to him. And so as we think of this, what is effectual prayer? Effectual in working, in the one praying. When we kneel to God for prayer, we are asking him. And if we're praying for somebody else, we're praying that God might give him strength. We have taken upon ourselves to become involved in his needs or her needs. And the Lord does call upon us to intercede in prayer for others. We see they have a problem and a trouble. And are we willing to sacrifice a little time, a little effort to reach to God that he might bless that person, give them what they need? You know, when we pray, can even pray for our enemies. And we can even pray for that person. Maybe we struggle with some envy. And when we put effort into praying for that one that we may have a little trouble with, envy, that envy can turn to emulation. Emulation is to desire to be like that person because you see they have something that is good. And you would envy can turn to emulation by putting yourself and giving yourself to God and seeking help for that person. You have taken up his burden in life or hers. And therefore, you can trust that God is going to undertake, and it's going to change and involve your whole relationship with that person because you are seeking for their blessing and benefit. And rather than being tempted to be greater, to be higher, to wish that you had some of the gifts they had. So effectual, it's in the one praying, effectual in working. It works within. It involves God and others. Effectual prayer is also in the operation. It's God's cause, and we become involved in God's cause and his righteousness. We give ourselves, and it brings within us an enlargement of our relationship and our spiritual life because we have took upon us the communication with God for the well-being of somebody else or for our own needs. In order to come to the Lord for our own needs, we need to see and sense that there is a lack here in me. I need more help. And we take our place before God in that position on our knees for him to help us with that need. We're acknowledging that we in ourselves are unable. It's also affection in God's will being done in your life. You are asking that not my way, but God's will be done in your life. And also the fact that God is using human instrumentality in his cause, to his glory. And when you have that kind of confidence or people that relationship with the spirituality of God, it's going to have an effect. It's going to do something for you. And so we're speaking on the part of what it takes to be effectual. It's going to be effectual in results. Results of prayer are always to the good. We may not get what we prayed for or hoped for, always. But God is, we have that contact with God. We have that relationship. And God is going to take notice of whatever that problem is that you brought to him. And he may have his own way of answering it. But the results are going to be good. So he may sometimes teach us how to go through the experience we're trying to avoid and teach us how to go through that. And so we become part of the burden of someone else, and we bless our relationship with God. And the God is glorified when we come to him in prayer. And so we can put our trust in him. So we want to look at some points here that we can learn in this effectual prayer. In this scripture here in James 5. And so we sit, look, reading in verse 13 to 20, where he says here that, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that he may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save his soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. So do you think it helps to pray for somebody you see in sin? And it may be a sinner, but if you convert him, and when we pray for somebody and we turn it over to the Lord might come back and say, here, why don't you do this? Why don't you talk to him about it? He may put his finger on that. And maybe the Lord will press that on your heart until you do. And of course, we have direction on the attitude we should present when we come to talk to somebody of a lack in their life. But somehow we tend to rather avoid it. Sometimes, you know, it's not pleasantly received, and the immediate reaction of the person might not be favorable. But there may be other things. He may ask you to write a letter. He may ask you sometime when you didn't quite live up to what you should have, that you go by and apologize to him. Or maybe just confess it to him. And so there's things the Lord will turn around and ask us to do because we have presumed to become involved in the need of that person. And so the Lord has somebody now that he can use to do what he wants him to do. And so that we need to do that. Now, one of the requirements to be effectual here we see in this and is verse 15, where it says that and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. So to be effectual, the sin needs to be taken care of in your own life. And we may have those areas of life where we have sinned. We may have struggles someplace, times. But he may first put his finger on what about this in your life. And the need for us to respond to that, to be forgiven. We may have a requirement of this to have repentance from sin. We need to take care of the first sins that we may have. And 1 Timothy 2:8, Paul says, I will men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. And so, take care of the sin in our own life. He wants us to have holy hands lifted up to pray. And I'm not saying that that when a sinner comes to him, until he has holy hands, God don't hear. He does hear a repentant heart. But we need to repent of our sin and confess our own sin. And then the Lord is going to be there to help. Psalm 66:18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And so we have sin there, and we're not going to do anything about that. But we are very conscious of other people's sins. Why can we expect the Lord to hear our prayer if we aren't willing to confess our own sin and have the Lord meet our own needs? Then another point we have in this scripture is in verse 16. The change of life is sometimes called for. In verse 16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that he may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And so we're not looking there so much at outright sin that you're not repenting of, but we're looking at a change of life. We tend to carry the habits that we had in our past life, or even habits that we develop because of wanting our own comfort, wanting our own way, wanting things my way. And so there may be need there that we confess our faults one to another. There may be brethren involved, there are people involved that know very well we have some faults, and that we do. So confess your faults one to another for effectual prayer, that and pray one for another, he says. And so there is maybe need of change in our life in order to have the Lord to work what we would like him to work. John 9, we have the blind man reasoned. He said, we know God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God, him God heareth. And we are need to be conscious sometimes that if we have things in our life that we help, why, and we want to pray, why we need to take care of those things as well. The Lord heareth the righteous, as is another one. Then another point we want to look at is for effectual prayer in this scripture is in verse 15. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. If he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. So what does prayer take? It takes some faith. We need to face reality as to what our life is. But do we really believe that God can make things better, that God can change things? And sometimes if you look at news today and you think about the things that are happening in this nation and other nations and the places it seems like the world is coming to, you can almost come to the place, you know, it's hopeless. But there needs to be an element of faith. And as we're thinking here, especially of praying for our own needs, praying for the needs of others, do you believe that God can make a difference? And that's the challenge that we need to faith. And I may tend sometime to come to the place in prayer and who else is going to? What else is going to help? And so we maintain the element of faith in our prayers that God can help. And we have expectation that God will help as we present our needs to him and trust that God is interested in. He loves us. He loves all humanity, and he is calling for them to come to him. But we need that element of faith, and this is speaking of being healed, to the element of faith to be healed, that we're taking upon ourselves in this ordinance to say, Lord, I'm asking you to heal me. And sometimes we say, well, we need to be willing if we don't. And we do. But it is saying here, ask the Lord to help. Call for the elders of the church and pour oil on him. And then pour oil on and take these steps. But we need an element of faith that, yes, God can do it. God may do it. And we need a certain amount of expectation that something's going to happen. I'm not sure if God will do it like I want it. But something's going to happen because it's in God's hands. I gave it to him. And so there needs to be, we need to be able to believe that God has the ability to give. And that God is going to be there to help. Effectual prayer is also in sincerity. In verse 16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that he may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And so we're not there. We are there to confess our condition of heart and reach out. That calls for sincerity, that there is change needed. There is help needed. And so I'm going to give this to the Lord. And you'd be sincere in that. And the Bible would speak of those that made long prayers to be heard of men. Those that made prayers to be seen of men. And it's not speaking of that kind of praying. That there is times when we audibly pray before others. And especially as we're thinking of church service or other times with family. That, but don't try to impress people. Or even don't try to impress God by making a long prayer. We do know that Jesus prayed all night sometimes. But if you're going to pray all night just to impress upon God how good Christian you are, you pray all night if you do because you sense your need of praying all night. And you can't find peace until you prayed all night. But sometimes the Lord may come to him in prayer and he is quick to give you peace and rest. And you get up and you know, I gave it to God. It's in his hands. Let's see what he will do with it. And so, but it needs to be in sincerity. Pharisees and publicans made public prayers long and tried to impress people or even God and or trying to instruct God that and or we would have to cover up wrongdoing. Mark 12:40, there I'd like to look at that. Says here that beware the scribes which love to go in long clothing and love salutations in the marketplace and the chief seats in the synagogues and the uppermost rooms at feasts, which devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. These shall receive greater damnation. And so the scribes and Pharisees were covering up wrongdoing by cheating widows of their property and then make long prayers to cover it up. And so if long prayers are to cover up sin, long prayers are not a good thing. But also there is other, if you feel the need of a long prayer, Jesus prayed all night at one time. Also, to be effectual, it needs to have a submissive attitude. James 5, verse 14, is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. In this particular instance, we're getting others, we're giving ourselves to the elders so the elders can do the anointing, and we're realizing and reaching out to God that he might supply the need, that we're going to yield our life to him by whatever way he is going to do it. Ephesians 5:17 says, be not unwise, but understanding the will of the Lord. We seek direction from him, and that is a submissive attitude, a submissive walk with him. And then the sixth point we have is that effectual prayer in verse 17 and 18. He persevered. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Now, it doesn't necessarily say that Elias prayed all those 3 years, but I believe he did. I believe he presented it to the Lord different times. We have Old Testament scripture of the hardship that was in the then known world, and the lack of moisture, and people were being affected by it, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on earth by the space of 3 years. And so effectual prayer perseveres. That in the parable of the sower, those that persevered in fruit bearing brought forth a hundredfold. And so they were praying, and they were persevering and bringing forth fruit in their life. And that may not be the only reason, whether we bring forth a hundredfold or 20-fold or 30-fold, but it depends somewhat on the abilities that God has given us. But at any rate, we see that we are called upon to persevere and to go back to him again. Genesis 32, Jacob wrestled with the angel and said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. And so there may be times that we can't seem to find peace, and we need to persevere and continue to praying him, continue to reach out to God, and continue to trust that he has the answer. We may need to go back again and back again and in prayer to him. But we also need the element of faith, in which as we place it in his hands, then we realize that God can answer prayer. God will work in this, and we entrust it to him. And you should be getting peace and rest in your soul, because you have given it into God's hands, and not necessary for you to keep worrying and worrying, because God is able to take care of it. Do we believe that God is righteous, holy? Do we believe that he loves us? Do we believe that he loves the Christian, the born-again person of God, and that his ear is open to their cry, and he is ready to answer, and that we might continue to trust in him even as we persevere and go back to him again and again? In this particular ordinance, we see a consecration in verse 15, which we present a prayer, and the elders of the church present a prayer of faith that shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. If he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. It's a prayer of consecration in that we have a specific request to him, and we're asking for healing in this scripture, that that we might experience the physical healing. And I think we can read in this also mental anguish can be, he's going to give peace to those with mental anguish as well. And the troubled spirit, God is there to help in these things. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. That should be a means of peace to begin with. And so it is a prayer of consecration in which we have dedicated this prayer session to a specific purpose that God would bring healing in your life and experience. Then we look at another verse 16. It speaks of fervent. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that he may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So it's not we teach our children, memorize little prayers sometimes and so on. But when we get down on our knees, it isn't wrong to use phrases that we tend to develop by time. But it's more than a memorized, you know, this something we present to God that we memorize many times. And we may use some of the same phrases, but at the same time, give him your heart. Make it fervent and plead with him. And realize you're talking to the Lord, and he's the only one that's ever going to help in this situation. And so make it fervent. Continue in prayer. Really believe that he's got a heart's lost. He's the one that can only do it. And so you continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, Colossians 4:2. And to be earnest, we need to stretch in spirit as Jesus did there in the garden. And he went back again and again and again in that prayer there in the garden. And the disciples fell asleep. But Jesus had to go back and pray to the Lord, to God again and again. He had a relationship with him. And so let's remember that there is peace to be found, and let's give him our heart. Let's give him the innermost thoughts of our being. Then we see also effectual prayer in verse 14. It speaks of the Spirit, and let them pray over him, anointing with oil in the name of the Lord. Oil is a type of the Holy Spirit. And so the Spirit of God is involved. Romans 8 would speak in verse 26 to 28 that he helps us to, we know not what we shall pray as we ought. We hardly know what to say. And yet the Spirit intervenes with groanings that cannot be uttered. We really don't know what to say, Lord, and yet we have to say something, and so we continue to cry out to him, and realize that the Spirit of God is intervening in between, and the Spirit of God is needed to make it. We like to make the perfect prayer. The Spirit of God can make the perfect prayer when the heart is yielded to him and continue to give him. Then we see it's also effectual in that and that we need to pray in Jesus' name. Let anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. The need that our prayers are in his name, that we the Lord Jesus involved. We have given our heart to him. He's the one that has saved us. And we, again and again, we are to do what we do and give alms and pray and fast in his name, not for our own glorification, not to show to other people how righteous or good we are, but rather we are to call upon him. And then he is our advocate, 1 John 2:1. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. We have somebody to go between. Job lamented at one place. He says that there was a daysman that could lay his hand upon God and his hand upon me. Someone that could bring us together. Well, God sent someone. And that was Jesus. In him, we have an advocate. We have someone going between who has a connection with God. And he also has a connection. If you have given your life to him, your heart to him, and you know the Lord Jesus, why, the connection is there. And so realize that you have that relationship in which you are accepted of the Father because you have accepted the Son. Looking at verse 18 to 20, the effects of effectual prayer and how Elias prayed, and again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. And so if any of you do err from the truth and one converted, those are results of prayer, to be giving your heart and life. And it's a great reward, put it that way. If you have been praying for a sinner, we are praying for somebody, and suddenly this person makes a breakthrough for God and for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the great reward that is yours is what the peace and love and feeling that you have, that God has answered that prayer and that soul is saved, and the peace that you can experience through it. Let him know that he which converteth a sinner from the error of his way, shall save his soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. It's worth putting some effort into other people and their needs, because you were instrumental in God using you by even your fact of praying saved a soul from death. And it's not that we tell God what to do and God does it, but we submit to him our concern, our burden. We submit and give to God that he, according to his will, has one more reason to meet the need of that person and my own heart as well. Let's kneel for prayer.